Hello and welcome to the last episode of the HMO Success Podcast in 2023. Don't worry, not the last ever episode, just the last episode of this year. And in today's episode, I want to discuss why I never set goals. Welcome to the HMO Success Podcast. I'm your host, Wendy Whitaker-Large, and I'm here to help you create a profitable HMO portfolio. Whether you're a brand new investor or you've been at it for a number of years, my podcast is here to help you make the most from your business, whether that is starting up, scaling, or systemizing. Please hit the subscribe button to make sure you never miss an episode. And if you've got an awe-inspiring project, an inspirational investing story, or a unique approach to HMOs, I'd love to hear from you. You might be a bit like me. You're a bit jaded. You're a bit wary when it comes to New Year's resolutions. How many times have you made New Year's resolutions in the past and they just haven't lasted? Well, yeah, that's me. Probably along with 99% of the rest of the UK, if not world population. And you get to this time of the year, don't you? And everybody's talking about setting goals for 2024. And you're thinking, well, they never really work for me. And you know what? They don't work for me either. Which is why I don't set goals. Well, actually, that's not quite true. I do set goals, but I set them in a way that allows me to achieve them. So today I want to go through some of the reasons that might be holding you back from either setting goals or achieving your goals, which is really ultimately the most important aspect of it all. It can be very disappointing if you look back at your own life history and realise that many a time you've set a goal and you've gone nowhere near achieving it. And I think it's worth recognising that as human beings, we often have great expectations, just like Pip did in the book by Charles Dickens. Great hopes, great dreams. And when we come into contact with people who have achieved amazing things in their lives, whether that's through property or HMOs or business, it's very easy to be inspired. And of course, to believe that we can do it too. And we can do it too. That's the incredible thing, that for all of us, this is quite achievable and quite possible. But there's a difference. One of the differences is that we sometimes are not able to go through the steps that it takes to actually make that goal a reality, to make that dream a reality. And I know for myself, one of the hardest lessons I've learned as a very active person who doesn't really like to sit still and follow through with anything is that the day-to-day work that it takes to make your goals a reality is very mundane. And this is a friend of mine who spoke to me about this a couple of years ago. She said to me, you know, the thing is, Wendy, when you have your action plan at the beginning of the year and you have plotted out what you want to achieve for the first 3 months of the year, it's very easy to get into the middle of January, the middle of February, and suddenly those goals don't seem so exciting anymore. They're not as magnetic as they once were. They're not as they don't drive you forward. They don't help you to get up in the morning and jump out of bed with a leap, because actually the work required to do those is pretty mundane. And that word stuck with me because I thought she's absolutely right that a lot of what we do to create wealth, to create financial freedom, to create a better lives for ourselves requires a lot of mundane, hard work. Now, actually, a lot of it is not particularly hard work. We're not having to go down to the mines and dig out coal. We're not having to stay awake for 24 hours on a shift that never seems to end. There may be a few people in the world, of course, who have some incredibly tough lives and do have to put up with those kind of working conditions. But for the majority of us, we lead pretty comfortable lives already. And maybe that's one of the problems. We're not used to the discomfort that is required to take us from where we are to where we want to be. But as a human being, we also can't help wishing for something better. We can't help hoping that the future is going to be better than the past. And I think this is part of our inbuilt mechanism, our nature to want to improve our lot. It's actually a sign of wanting to grow. But what we have to understand is that our growth is also predicated on getting out of our comfort zone and doing something really tough and difficult, and doing something not only tough and difficult once, but repeatedly. So when I come to setting goals for myself, I've realised that actually having a goal just written down doesn't achieve anything. What I need to do is plan for it. So I take a plan for the first quarter of the year, and I've started doing this for the last 4 years. I've been taking this approach, and it works for me wondrously. It's much, much better than setting an annual goal for me, and it's much better for me than setting some unachievable goal that probably I'm never going to achieve. You've probably heard of those SMART targets, S-M-A-R-T, which stands for specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time-scaled. And SMART is a fantastic acronym to help you to set goals if you wish to. But again, what I would say is the drawback of that approach is that it doesn't give you the actual steps that you need to achieve those goals. The goal may be specific, but what are the steps that you need to take to make it specific? So I prefer the method that gives me 12 weeks at a time. So I have a chart that I've produced, and actually I share this with my mentees. And on our Christmas session before, the December session before Christmas, we always sit down and we spend a couple of hours at our mentoring session working through this 12-week plan. And this 12-week plan is so incredibly useful because it's effectively a poster that you stick up on your wall. And each week is split every week is split into four sections. So you have effectively a 12-week chart with 12 columns and four rows. And each of those rows represents a step towards your first 12-week goal. So you have four 12-week goals to achieve, only four. And we limit it to four for a reason. Because if you're already a busy person, maybe you have a job, you've got a family, fitting in more activity is going to be quite tough. But using this method of literally having one action to do per week, per goal, makes it much, much more achievable. And the other thing that I do is rather than writing my action, my activity, in that little box on the chart, what I actually do is I write it on a post-it note, and then I stick the post-it note onto that little box. And the great thing about using post-it notes is, of course, you can rearrange them. So if, for example, 1 week you manage to be very productive and you get two of your activities done, you can pull two of your post-it notes off your chart, off your poster, and, you know, give yourself a pat on the back. But it gives you a little bit more time the following week where that goal or that action has already been achieved so that you don't need to then redo it. So it's effectively a time-bound activity chart tracker. That's a long title, isn't it? But it is a very, very useful tool for enabling you to break down your top four priorities for the year, be very clear about them, and they are written as SMART goals, but you're just going to focus on them for 12 weeks, so just until the end of March. And then, of course, you repeat the process again for April, May, June, and then again July, August, September, and then October, November, December. Now, the reason why I think this is a very useful approach, number one, it gives me clear actions to take. And I have to think through those actions before I can plan them onto my poster, before I can put them onto the chart. So I have to really understand what are those different steps and are there things that I'm going to need to learn? And if there are particular skills or people that I need to meet, perhaps, or things that are currently out of my knowledge base or out of my network, then I've got to give myself enough time to embed those into my mundane day-to-day activity sheet. So again, you can plot those on your chart. And this is really helpful because it gives you a good overview of whether your goal that you set at the beginning, the SMART target, the SMART goal that you set, is actually achievable or not. Or maybe that's going to be something that's going to take you 6 months to achieve rather than 3 months. So this is how I do or don't set my goals in any year. Alongside that, the other thing that I do is I have an accountability buddy. And this is a friend of mine who I've worked with for many years now, and we have a weekly call. And I've shared this before on the podcast, I've shared this before with the people who've asked me, how do you maintain that consistency, Wendy? How do you maintain a continuation of all the things that you do? And I have to say that without my friend, I would find this much harder. The thought that we have a 1 hour call every Thursday just after lunch, and she's going to ask me what I've achieved in the last week and have I done those activities on my activity schedule. I can't tell you how motivated I become on a Wednesday, because I know that she's going to ask me what I've been doing, and if I can't give a positive answer, I'm just going to feel stupid. And actually, it's a kick up the bum for me as well. And I need someone who can make sure that I'm achieving what I want to achieve, but also that I'm being the best version of myself. Now, when it comes to things like running and training and fitness, I can't leave those just to one day a week, because otherwise I would achieve very little. And in fact, one of the goals that I set for myself for 2023, for the first quarter of 2023, was to beat my half marathon personal best, which I did by about 7 minutes. So I was very pleased about that. Now, had I not consistently trained for that particular goal, it didn't matter how many times on a Wednesday I went out and did a long run, I probably would still not meet that personal best target. Because for something like running, you've got to be doing it fairly regularly, 3, 4, 5 times a week. But there are, of course, other things that you can leave right to the last minute, and then you can have your accountability or your buddy call, and your buddy doesn't know that you actually achieved everything the day before. But I would suggest that's not necessarily the best way to run your week. Particularly because if you're squashing everything up to the last minute, it just simply means that you're going to put a lot of pressure on yourself. So this requires a bit of time planning. And this is really where the hard work starts, because you're going to have to get your diary out or your calendar and sit and look at it and be realistic with yourself. When can you do these activities? Because up till now, you haven't been able to do these activities. And now you're saying, well, I now want to achieve something new for 2024, whether that's to buy another HMO, whether it's to do a commercial conversion. You know, there's lots of steps to take in any of these particular courses of action. And whichever one of those you're wanting to achieve, you'll have to break it down. And it's so important that you do this, because that ability to break it down and see each step is the key to achieving it. And I always say, well, even if I don't achieve the goal in the first 3 months of the year, if I've done all those actions on my sheet, I will certainly be far, far closer to achieving those goals than I would have been had I not put those actions on my sheet in the first place. But as we all know, there are other reasons why our goals are not achieved, why we don't carry out those actions. And I want to talk through some of those today to help you, if either you're a bit like me and a bit wary about setting goals because you feel that you haven't achieved them in the past, or maybe because you're really unsure about how to do it effectively. And I really want to kind of open our eyes, all of our eyes, to what really goes on psychologically when we set goals and we decide we're going to change our life in some way, whether it's by getting fitter, losing weight, making more money, starting a new business, investing in HMOs, or generally investing in property. There are lots of triggers that actually will hold you back, and it's really important that you're aware of these. That ability to be self-aware of what your emotions are doing at the time when you're setting these plans and actions will be critical when some of these will hit you in the face and you'll look back at your week and you'll realise that you haven't achieved your action as stated on that chart. So one of the first ways is fear. We're often fearful of actually achieving our goals, and many of us actually have this kind of self-sabotaging nature, whereby we may get very close to achieving something, but then suddenly something happens, or we allow something to happen, and it pulls us back from that moment of completion. And fear is often the reason at the heart of this, because actually we want to stay where we are. We want to stay in our comfort zone. And we have to realise that the closer you get to achieving that goal, the more scary it's going to be. When all you're doing is networking or maybe talking to people or maybe writing a business plan, it's all pretty easy. It's all paper. It's all, you're not actually putting your money where your mouth is. But as soon as you make an offer on a property, as soon as you actually start to put some of this into action, that's suddenly when the fear factor can rise, because you realise, yikes, my hard-earned money that I've been working for the last 10 years, or my savings that I have been diligently putting aside, I'm now going to be taking this and putting it into an HMO. And what if it doesn't work? What if I can't get tenants? What if my heating and energy bills are so high that I can't make profit? All of these what-ifs suddenly start to ring true in your mind. So this is where being aware of that fear is critical, because you might not actually be able to overcome those fears. Those fears will be there. But by being aware of them, it allows you to work through them and perhaps get some answers to those questions that underlie some of those fears, such as energy bills. Just as an aside, we've seen our energy bills coming down over the last few months. And in fact, wholesale gas prices are very, very low at the moment. So that's very good news. We're also, of course, seeing interest rates starting to possibly come down. And I think it's very likely they will come down over the next year. But these could be fear factors for you in investing. And it's just important to recognise that when that fear crops up, when you feel it, either sort of, I sometimes feel fear in my chest, you know, and I can literally feel my heart beating a little bit faster, and I can feel that I'm just not comfortable. And just spending a bit of time to kind of step back and go, what is it that's at the heart of this? What's causing me to feel this? You can deal with that fear. There's a fantastic book written many eons ago by a lady called Susan Jeffers, and it's quite a small book, and it's called Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. And it's all about managing your fear, because you might not ever be able to overcome it, but you can certainly manage it so that it doesn't hold you back from achieving things in your life. A second area which I know I suffer from terribly is procrastination. And this is for me linked to another one, which is perfectionism. You know, I want it to be perfect. I want it to be just right. If it isn't perfect, if it isn't just right, forget it. I'm not going to do it. So if I don't have everything ready before I start, or if I don't have a clear vision in my own mind of what something is going to look like, or if I haven't worked it out step by step, then, you know, it just isn't good enough. And many a time I've listened back to my own podcast and thought, oh, that wasn't really a very good podcast. Oh, perhaps I should delete it. Perhaps I shouldn't broadcast it. And certainly when you're doing social media or podcasting or writing, you do tend to put yourself on the line a bit. And, you know, there are times when I I'm sitting recording my podcast and thinking, is anyone going to listen to this podcast? Is it going to help anybody? Is it going to be of benefit to anybody? But I know from the feedback I get, it does benefit people. And I think that all of us can have that doubt in our own minds about what we're putting out there. And I'm sure that you have heard my podcasts, and some of them have been great and some of them have not been so good. But I've done a podcast every week, more or less, I would say, for the last 2 years. I had a break a couple of years ago just after COVID. But apart from that break, I have been fairly consistent in doing my podcast. I didn't want to be one of those people who pod faded. And I also want to build up the community, and I want to offer value, and I want to encourage you, because I know how hard it was for me when I first started investing in HMOs, how much I had to learn from scratch, how many mistakes I made. And having developed my own HMO portfolio and learned loads along the way and been exposed to some amazing HMO investors who are doing incredible things, I know how helpful it is when I can share that for you, if that's where you want to go in your life as well. So procrastination can be linked to perfectionism, but sometimes it can also just be linked to fear. And that sense of holding yourself back, of not doing something when you said you're going to do it because it isn't right or it isn't perfect, this is a very big danger in not achieving your activity. And I would really encourage you to, again, dispel this myth in your own brain that it has to be perfect. In many ways, of course, you'll find that although it might not be perfect for you, it may be perfect for somebody else. And your standards are not necessarily somebody else's standards. It doesn't mean to say that you should drop your standards, but what I'm saying is don't hold yourself back from taking action just because what you believe you've produced or you're about to create isn't perfect. Another reason, I think this is the sort of third or fourth reason in my list of why you don't achieve the things you set out to do and the activity that you plan to do, is not prioritising correctly. When you have a busy life, a job, a family, other commitments, those things can very often take priority, particularly because you tend to think that what you're trying to achieve is secondary to your main income stream or your family life. And in fact, you may be doing it to increase the income that you have to improve your family life. So what you don't want to do is to ignore your children, ignore your partner, ignore all your responsibilities for the next 2 years to build your fantastic HMO portfolio, only to find that actually they've all left you and they never want to spend any time with you because you ignored them for the previous 2 years. However, it's very important to enroll those people in your goals. And this is, again, a mistake that I've made in the past where I've gone off and I've done something and I've sort of announced to the family, this is what I'm doing. And they've sort of sat there half open mouth thinking, Mum, are you sure you've got time to do this? And I haven't really enrolled them in that plan. And the problem with that is it means that they're not really bought into my ideas. They're not really part of the whole overall activity. Whereas when I enroll them, when I show them what I'd like to do, when I discuss it with them, when I help them to understand what the bigger picture is, when I share my vision, now sometimes I will get some good feedback from them, and that's helpful, even though at the time it can sting a little bit. But often when you share your vision and your idea with somebody else, they will get on board with it and they will be a critical friend to you. And you need a critical friend, because doing this on your own is lonely, it's time consuming, and it's harder. And especially your family. So don't be scared to share your ideas with your nearest and dearest and to listen to their feedback. And you'll find that the people nearest and dearest to you are the best people at giving you that feedback. Because although, again, it might sting a little, you need to hear it. Because that way you can shape your activity around the feedback they've given you. The other reason why enrolling people is so important is because when things do get tough, or when you do have to juggle your priorities, they will understand if they don't come first anymore. Maybe there's a time when your children have to learn to walk back from football rather than you going to pick them up. Maybe there's occasions when you're doing something, like this morning, and I can't go and watch my son swimming. He's a competitive swimmer. He swims about 9 times a week, and I would have liked to go and watch him swim this morning, but actually I had to go and I've had to come into my office and record the podcast. Now, he understands it's important. He's behind me, and I will go and watch him swim another time. But if he wasn't enrolled, if he had resisted this, or if I had just dumped this upon him and said to him, I'm going to launch a podcast. I'm going to be a great HMO podcaster, whatever that is. He probably would have reacted today when I said, I can't watch you swim. Oh, it's because you've got that podcast. Oh, that's so stupid. Oh, I wish you weren't doing that podcast. But I don't get that reaction from him because I've enrolled him in my plans. And of course, he's enrolled me in his plans as well, what he wants to do and be as a swimmer. And this ability to allow people in to your idea, your vision, is a very powerful one. It gives you succor and strength when things aren't going very well, because very often those same people will be the ones who will encourage you and push you to keep going. But it also gives you a reason to achieve the goal. Because if you know other people are behind you and they also want you to achieve, it can be a very motivating factor in you getting up out of bed slightly earlier to do that activity that is on your 12-week plan. Another tool I'd say for prioritisation of your goals is making sure that you've written them not only on your poster, your 12-week plan poster, but you've also put them in your calendar. Now, I use Google Calendar and it synchronizes with my phone, and it's incredibly useful because I put all sorts of sort of activities in there that I know I've got to achieve, whether it's my 5 mile run, or it's a strength training session, or it's a viewing of a property, or it's calling a mentee, or it's writing another chapter of my book. All these things have to go in my diary. But what I've also realized is that daily living, daily life throws up a huge amount of questions or choices which are completely unpredictable. It could be that, you know, my dad has a fall. It could be that my sister needs me. It could be that, we've run out of milk and somebody needs to go to the shops and buy some more milk. You know the kind of things I'm talking about, these kind of unpredictable scenarios that crop up in everyday life. How do you then put yourself first and make sure that you achieve your goal while still allowing for room for all of those unpredictable issues that crop up? Well, I think first of all, this is where the A in the SMART acronym comes in, achievable. It's very important that you plan your diary so that you have a bit of breathing space around each of these actions. So, for example, I try not to plan my day so that I'm busy from 8 o'clock in the morning till 4 o'clock in the afternoon with appointments. And some days, they are pretty busy, my days. And you can look at my diary and think, good grief, Wendy's got a lot on. But some of it, I now have learned to block out. So I might give myself a half an hour or a 1 hour break between phone calls or between viewings, so that if I do need to pop to the shops and get some milk, I can go and get some. Or if I need to phone my dad, or if I need to, you know, do something else for the family, I've got some space and time to do that. And if you're working full time and you're fitting this around a full time job, make sure that you do that. Make sure that you've bookended your day so that you have a little bit of breathing space at the beginning, at the end of the day. Ultimately, it doesn't matter whether you spend a year building your HMO portfolio or 18 months. And in fact, at the extra 6 months that you might give yourself to achieve the same goal, yes, it may take a little bit longer, but actually that extra time may well be just what you need to keep yourself on a good, healthy routine, whereby you're looking after other aspects of your life. I've seen many, many property people get burnt out. I've seen many people start on a huge, fantastic high. They're emotionally high. They are focused. They are full of energy. The new year begins and they throw themselves into their new venture. And it all looks great from the outside. But slowly the wheels start to come off, because all that they're doing is this new venture and they haven't thought about other aspects of their life. And if things take a little bit longer, and I'm not talking another 5 years, I'm not talking not getting started. What I'm talking about is getting started and getting going, but realizing that some things will take a little bit longer than you perhaps initially thought when you're trying to balance your life. And then, as I've just mentioned, one of the other reasons that stops you from achieving your goals, stops you taking action and activity, is not getting started. And I've seen this so very often when people plan. They have a fantastic chart, they've got their 4 SMART goals, they've got their weekly activity, and they just don't do it. And there's nothing that I can say, there's nothing I can do to make you do something. If you are not going to do it, if you don't want to do it, if you have written it down but you still refuse to do it, then that is entirely up to you. And we all have to find our own ways of being motivated. But what I would say is that this doesn't so much come down to motivation as it comes down to self-discipline and will, and deciding that you really want this to happen. You see, if I said to you that if you get up every day half an hour earlier and went for a walk, and after 6 months, if you could prove to me that you'd done that, I would give you £1 million, I very much suspect you would do it. So in your mind, you have to make the link between a tremendous reward and the activity that you're doing on a day-by-day basis. Because remember at the beginning of the podcast, I said to you, this is very mundane. And it is. The things that you're going to be doing week by week, day by day, to achieve those goals, they are not going to set your life on fire. You are not going to come out of your viewing thinking, oh, that was amazing. Some days you'll think, oh, that was just a total waste of time. What can I do with that property? Well, what I would say is still make an offer. Don't ever do a viewing and don't make an offer. There's no point in that. Even if it's a low offer, it doesn't matter. You don't know what position the vendor is in. They may well accept a low offer. Always make an offer. So that's a way of never wasting your time doing a viewing. But on the other hand, make sure that you have a realistic understanding that a lot of what you'll do on that path to wealth and on that path to riches is going to feel very, very mundane, very boring, very dull. And while you may have the honour and glory eventually of being able to stand up at a property networking meeting or on social media and state the fantastic things that you're doing in property, which are, of course, very exciting and they are life-changing, let's not forget that. But a lot of it is going to feel like very hard work along the way. So you've got to find reason for doing this. You've got to grab onto that reason. And whether it's pain or whether it's pleasure that motivates you, I think for most of us, it's actually a bit of both. Find the pain. Is it the pain of where you are? Is it the pain of realizing that in another 12 months' time, if you don't do anything differently, you'll be exactly where you are now? And in fact, you won't just be where you are now, but you will have retreated because you'll also be another year older and you'll have 1 year less opportunity and you'll have 1 year less growth and you'll have 1 year less of everything that you could have had in 2024. Or is it the pleasure of knowing that in a year's time you could have a cash flowing HMO bringing you over £1,000 extra income per month if what you do is follow this system? Is that a big enough goal? Is that a big enough pleasure to motivate you to do it? And there's going to be times, remember my friend, when either the pain or the pleasure is simply not going to be enough. And you will have to rely on your own self-discipline. Now, there are some fantastic books out there about discipline and about habits. And I would say to you that one of the things that has really helped me over time is cultivating good habits, cultivating the habit of getting up early, cultivating the habit of regular exercise, cultivating the habit of planning my meals and my food, cultivating the exercise of going to bed early. These practices have massively helped to structure my life so that I don't waste time, I don't spend a lot of time either watching television or on social media, but I try to make sure that the structure of my daily life enables me to be as productive as I can be, so that when I have that call on the Thursday with my accountability partner, I can say to her, yes, it's been a great week because I've hit all my activities, I've hit all my goals for the last week. So I want you to go away from this podcast, the last one of 2023, feeling energized, feeling positive, but also feeling realistic, knowing that with a simple system, you can achieve as much or as little as you want to in life. You can do this, no matter what your background, no matter what your skill set is today, no matter what is your education. There is no reason that you should be held back from achieving anything that you want to in life. However, be mindful that there are extremely useful tools that can help you to achieve it. And by some simple tweaks and some simple application, it's not easy, but it's simple and you can make it happen. And as we step into 2024, just remind yourself that you are on a path of growth. And every time that you feel that fear or the resistance to doing something different or to applying yourself differently, that's all it is. It's your mind and your brain holding you back to keep you safe. But actually, we're not people who should be kept safe. We need to get out there and change the world, whether it's our own world or the world for other people. And on that note, I would like to wish you a very, very happy 2024. I will speak to you next week and have a wonderful new year. Have a fantastic end of 2023. Celebrate all your achievements, celebrate all your wonderful experiences and relationships. And I'll raise a glass in toast to you. And I look forward to speaking to you in 2024. Thank you for listening to the HMO Success Podcast. If you'd like to know more about how you can create a profitable HMO business, please visit our website, hmosuccess.co.uk, to find out more. We have plenty of free tools and information for you there, and also on our Facebook group, The Ultimate HMO Success System. We look forward to connecting with you very soon. Thanks for listening.